flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A lot of people upset about the Browns. Yeah, we know it. We'll get back to that coming up here in a bit. Also, you have a chance to win Cavs tickets coming up at 9 a.m. when they take on the Boston Celtics tonight at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And to talk about that game, we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe, who's given us a few of his minutes as the Cavs get ready to take on the Boston Celtics later on tonight. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here.
Could this game, we're getting close to the trade deadline. Luka has been moved. It was a shocking trade. It's made everybody kind of, when somebody sells a house in the neighborhood, you kind of sit down and you think about your own house. And I think that it's made fan bases across the NBA go, are we sure we're good with this team? Would tonight's results at all influence any moves with the Cavaliers or the Celtics?
Maybe if there was like a blowout or something, especially on the Celtics side, if they look at Cleveland and realize that, hey, we're not going to win a 7-game series against this team. If tonight proved that, now the question is, what they would need, and they're in the second apron, so it's very difficult for them to make a deal because they locked down a lot of their primary players to long-term extensions and went over that apron, so they're really limited as to what they could do. Obviously, I think they're still out there looking for something to add, because I think the development of the Cavaliers this year, the rise and how much better they are than last year, has kind of been one of the bigger surprises in the NBA, and Cleveland's not going anywhere. So, they had a little dip in the last week or so, but they're still the number one team in the East. So I think the Celtics will assess these next two games. I know they play again in about a couple of weeks and think to themselves, okay, how do we match up with this team? Do we have enough strength in the front court to deal with Allen and Mobley? Can we defend adequately Garland and Mitchell? They'll ask themselves a lot of questions. I would think it would take a complete humiliating blowout for the Celtics to say, okay, it's time for us to make a major move here. I don't think that will happen, and I don't think they can do that. But I do think that they can figure out maybe a way to add another piece to help them down the road.
Gary, how seriously do you think the Celtics are truly taking the Cavs? Because obviously the Cavs have the best record. They've had the best record. These teams have played twice. Both teams weren't truly all the way healthy in those matchups. So right now, is it still staggering looking at the Cavs at the top of the standings going, how do we let that team get all the way up there with that kind of a buffer?
Well, I don't think the Celtics look at Cleveland and go, okay, they're about to slip. Like, I think it's been, I mean, we're halfway to the season. We're 49 games in with the Cavs. They're the first team to win 40. They did great on the road. They've been flawless damn near at home. So, yeah, they're to be taken seriously. I don't think the Celtics look at Cleveland and go, yeah, it's going to, you know, they're going to slip. They're going to lose five. Yeah, we got to worry about them. No, they're not thinking that. They're definitely taking the Cavs as probably their primary rival. It's an interesting week for the Celtics because they play the Knicks on Saturday, and they haven't played the Knicks since opening night, so they'll find out a lot about how they match up with the Knicks now that they're playing better than they did, obviously, earlier. So those are the two teams I think they're really concerned with. Obviously, Indiana's a team that's given them trouble also in the last couple of years, too. So I think they understand there's definitely sharks in the water. There's the Cavaliers are obviously the top seed. I mean, and you're going to have to try to catch them if you're the Celtics. You're 5.5 games back. These two games over the next couple of weeks are critical. If not, you know, you just have to assume that you're going to get the number two or three seed, and then you're going to play a road series, you know, where the Cavs will have the home court advantage if you meet in the conference finals. But, yeah, they're taking the Cavs seriously. They don't – this is not a fluke.
We have Gary Washburn joining us here on the show from the Boston Globe. So you're telling me, you know, fans love to play the underdog. We can't play the disrespect card with the Celtics?
Not really. Nah, you can't look at it. I know, you know, I think this probably – this team, this Cavs team probably took the city by surprise because I don't think the jump – that it took with under Kenny Atkinson and the difference from J.B. Bickerstaff was expected. You know, the Mobley jump, him developing into an all-star. Jared Allen's having a good year. Everybody was talking about how Mitchell and Garland couldn't play in the same backcourt, and one of them was going to have to be moved. That never happened. So I just think it's all worked out. And to be honest, you know, the Cavs haven't been completely healthy. I mean, you've had Okoro out and Wade out and Strus missed like the first 2 months. So this team has not been whole, but still just been kicking butt, you know, shooting threes, you know, very efficient offensively because that was the issue. The issue with the Cavs last year was offense. It was not defense. Bickerstaff had those boys playing D. It was just they couldn't score consistently. Now they are. So, yeah, very dangerous team, and I think the Cavs. I think the league views the Cavs as one of the best teams in the league, along with Oklahoma City.
Gary Washburn joining us on the show. How do people outside of Cleveland see Evan Mobley? How do you view him?
Just a very valuable piece. A guy who doesn't say much. You don't see him on commercials. You don't. You know, he just puts his head down and does his job, and obviously. In this generation where a lot of these young NBA players are more about their brand than have been playing ball on the court, he's a breath of fresh air. I think that you look at him as a guy who every team would love to have. He's valuable. He plays deep.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Puts his emphasis on defense. He's learned and developed more of a post game. He's even developed a 3-point shot. So just a guy who's a rising star. And I think everybody kind of saw that when he came out of USC. He didn't, you know, it wasn't much fanfare to his game. I don't think a lot of people in probably Cleveland knew him because he wasn't at USC for long. He was there for 1 year. But once he got here and kind of fit into that culture, that workman-like culture that the Cavs have, I think it's been a perfect fit.
We are joined by Gary Washburn right now. I'm looking at the Celtics, and in any given game, you know, we know they can shoot 50-plus threes, and, you know, when they are on, they are almost impossible to beat. However, looking at the season totals, I mean, Tatum's three-point shooting is down. Jaylen Brown down to 32%. Derek White has been down. Holiday has been down. Is that something that's starting to be a little concerning, considering you guys are still shooting like 48 of those a game? Or do fans kind of think that will get to where it needs to be come playoff time?
No, there's a concern because last year, you know, Drew Holiday, White, you know, all those guys had not career years, but very good shooting years. And for whatever reason, it has not happened this year. Derek White has really slumped. Jason Tatum got off to a really fast start from the three-point line, and I think he's 30-something. He was 30-something%, 30% maybe, maybe a little better than that in January. So he's tailed off. Jaylen Brown has not had a great shooting year, and it's been collective. And the question is, well, do you keep taking these threes and hope that water hits the level and that eventually they'll go down, or do you kind of change your method of trying to score? And so far, they've tried to blend in a little bit more of a post presence with Kristaps Porzingis. They don't have that guy, like, other than Kristaps, they don't have that guy like a, you know, you're going to throw a whole bunch of lobs to, like, Allen or Mobley, where you can just dump the ball in the paint and that guy's going to get to the free throw line or score at the rim. So Porzingis is their guy. But they're going to need to hit threes at a better rate in order. I mean, that's why they're 35-15 and not, you know, five or six games better, because their shooting has not been up to par, and their defense this year has slipped. It's not been, they're a team that lets their offense, lets miss shots and empty possessions affect their defense. They're trying to get over that, but, you know, they've played a little bit better of late. This will be a good test tonight to play against an elite team. They play Dallas on Thursday and then again the Knicks on Saturday. So this will be an interesting week for them.
You probably are monitoring this very closely, just in terms fans have got to be excited about a potential of, you know, being able to go back to back. But with that said, would you have entertained breaking up the core for Luka had he become available?
Not, I think that's an interesting question. You know, but I think the only untouchable on the roster would have been Tatum. So if you're the Celtics, you try to say if you can pair Tatum with Luka, which means you would have to trade Brown, probably White, and probably another player, and then probably three first-round picks. That's what would have taken. So do you break down your entire roster?
So Tatum is untouchable.
Yeah, like Tatum I think is untouchable, yes. I think to get Luka, you would want to see how he worked with Tatum. And whether they could play together, if that was possible. I think if the Celtics had been floated that, they would have probably had to throw in two to three veterans and three first-round picks. And the question is, would that work? Would you still have a championship-caliber team? I don't know if they would have done it. Would they have entertained it? I think all other 29 teams would have entertained having Luka on their roster and what the possibilities there were if that was floated.
Would Mobley be untouchable in this scenario?
That's a tough one. I think he's one of your more indispensable players, especially that his offensive game is expanding. Will he ever be a top 10 or 5 player? I don't know. Maybe a top 10 eventually, but I don't know if he's untouchable. If you feel like, because obviously now, I mean, you know, it's not been that long since the Cavs last won, but it is the, you know, you want to win something without LeBron. You want to prove that this franchise can be successful without LeBron James on the roster. So do you take a big chance there if you're the Cavs and try to go for it this year? Because to me, this is one of those years. I mean, Oklahoma City is not unbeatable. Obviously, the Celtics are beatable. The Knicks have not worked out as well as I think people thought they would. So this is the year for the Cavs to go get it. But I wouldn't move Mobley, you know, unless it was for obviously a player who's going to pretty much guarantee you a title.
Gary Washburn, we thank you very much for the time. All the best, and we hope to talk to you again very shortly in the future.
All right, thanks, guys.
Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can't play the disrespect card with the Cavs. At least when it comes to the Celtics. Boy, I got to ask the Knicks.
Yeah,
but
I thought that was very, very interesting. He said, yeah, the Cavs are absolutely formidable. I wondered if Boston fans and Boston media were just going to say, yeah, once the playoffs start, you guys are going to beat us.
I think in some of these cases, this is why I got to see when the next time we play the Knicks. Have we played the Knicks all the times we're going to play for them? We got to have to play them again. I want to hear what the media has to say there about the Cavs. Because you know the Knicks fans are always going to dump on whatever. That doesn't count. I want to hear what the media thinks about the Cavs and whether or not they could run it back if they had to play them in the Eastern Conference playoffs.